This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. As always, the mayor is with us this morning. And if you would like to talk with our mayor, you can text him, you can call him, whichever you prefer. The number, same one for either one. 615-893-1450. We like to make it easy on everybody. You only have to remember one number, and we haven't changed that number for 77 years. So, well, I take that back. I think people used to call 1450. Didn't have to do anything else. And then the phone company added suffixes to it. Shane, good to have you with us this morning.
Yeah, Bart, good to be here.
And it's did you jog up today? I mean, the weather is much cooler than
it has. It's awesome outside.
Beautiful out there.
Yeah, everything looked like the storm came through sort of uneventful last night, so that was...
The kind of storms to have.
That was good, yeah. I ended up pulling an umbrella out of the pool, so that was really the only issue I had.
I did notice this morning there were a few leaves here and there, so evidently we had a few ruffles while we were sleeping.
But, yeah.
Nevertheless, made it through that one easily. One of the big things in the news today is the city has chosen to move away from the Notes Live, which was the facility that was for live music and also food across from the fountains.
Correct.
What happened?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much exactly what the release said. You know, we approved that a couple of years ago. They were supposed to start construction June of 2023. The economic climate has changed over that time. You know, interest has gone from 4% to 8.25%. I read on social media and I read all these different comments. I don't really comment very often. Everything that people are asking, hey, well, why didn't the city do this? Why didn't the city do that? That's what we did in this case. So we put very stringent parameters on that group to really say, hey, this is the plan, this is what we approve, this is what we expect, so everyone's on the same page. And ultimately they came to the city and wanted to change that plan, and you know, they wanted to go from 4,500 seats to 6,000 seats. Then they wanted to change, they were going to build, you know, the thing called the Boot Barn in an indoor venue, and they changed not wanting to do that.
Just to totally eliminate that.
To totally eliminate those and go to 6,000 for the amphitheater. We really just said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to approve that. Ultimately, we can argue semantics, but we as a city basically said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to stick to the deal that we approved. And we had parameters in there, you know, vetting things that we had to approve, and they didn't want to do that. And so we said, that's fine. You know, you can go away. And so that's exactly what happened. You know, and it's, I mean, Bart, you look back and you've heard me say this before. I think it's important that when we do things right, you know, it's good to have those things and have credit for those things. But when we mess things up, we say that as well. You know, you look back and One East College, you know, we learn from that project. And I hope at some point that project gets started. I mean, I hope it does. But, you know, then you look at the sports development that came out on 840, that was going to come out on 840. And, you know, we went through the process of vetting all the things that, you know, we went through. And ultimately, the city had nothing to do with that financially. We weren't giving incentives. We weren't doing any of that. And that didn't come to fruition. You know, so then you look at this project. And the other one I saw on social media is the baseball complex. The baseball complex was never something that we even voted on. You know, that was just something that someone came and said, hey, we're interested in doing a baseball facility. And, you know,
we want you to pay for it.
Yeah. And we were like, well, no, we're not going to do that. So, you know, I think it is important when we say here are things that we've learned, and that, like, this project, everything that was supposed to happen from the city standpoint, that's exactly what we did. And to go through and to say that the city has not been successful on recruiting and fostering new businesses and existing businesses, I mean, Bart, that's just not true. I mean, you go back and you look at, for example, Joby Jackson Parkway. I mean, you look at Schwann Cosmetics, Interstate Warehousing, Amazon, NHK. You know, you look at the new company that just opened up that's building commercial garbage trucks. And I mean, that's a huge company that's come out there. And then you start looking at what's happened downtown. And I'm not, look, I mean, I'm not at this point after 20 plus years of doing this. I mean, I'm secure in myself enough that, like, I'm not trying to make myself or the council look better. I just think it's important that we operate off of facts. I mean, you look downtown and you see what's happened downtown. You look out at Medical Center Parkway and, you know, Trader Joe's that's coming. You look at all the businesses that have come out there. I mean, when you're a city this large and you're trying to recruit and you're trying to get people to come into your city, you're going to have some swings and you're going to have some really good hits and you're going to have some misses. And, you know, luckily we've had, you know, better hits than more hits than we have misses. But some of the projects that we have, I mean, I've learned, I think the city needs to focus on things that we are good at. And we are good at providing services and we are good at being able to make sure that, you know, our community is safe. But I'm not sure that we really as a city need to be involved in negotiating economic development deals. I think that needs to be done, you know, through the chamber and through different organizations besides the government. I'm not sure that we're good at that.
What do you think the message is that the folks at One College LLC, One East College LLC, are getting?
I mean, the message that they've gotten straight from me is, you know, you have an approved plan. I had a guy I used to work with that I think this is right. He would say, I'm from Missouri. I'm from the Show Me State. And we have amended that plan a couple of times. And so now, you know, what I've told them is put up or shut up. It's hard to be able to say that the city has not done everything that we can do to help that group get that project started. But I mean, you know, I had a great conversation with Scott Graby out at the Fountains. That's a project that, you know, the city partnered with Scott. That was city owned land, and Scott has been successful. But, you know, Scott will tell you the first couple of years of that development, it was rough. And, you know, we amended some things with Scott on job credits to make sure that, and help him be successful. But, you know, Scott will tell you the first two or three years on with that project, it was touch and go. So, you know, I think but Scott did everything he said he was going to do. And I think that's the thing that, and now he's working on phase two of that project. But, you know, that's been 15 years or, you know, 12 years he's been working on that project. So I think that's the thing with this group at One East College is at some point you have to quit making excuses and you have to deliver. And until we get assurances that we're moving forward, I think we're going to sort of stand on the sidelines right now.
You sent them a letter of default saying nothing had been done.
Correct.
When was that?
Oh, gosh, Bart, that was 6 months ago, 6-8 months. And I'm guessing, I don't have it in front of me. I didn't send the letter. The city manager and the attorney sent the letter. But so, I mean, yeah, as far as it is right now, the pilot, the TIF, tax incremental financing, which, you know, what tax incremental financing does is it basically says that the property taxes that you would pay for X have to go to something that is for the public, which is, in their case, it would have been a public parking garage, structure parking downtown.
You wonder if they're really taking you seriously because you sent them that letter.
Yeah.
6 months later, nothing happened.
You know,
other than the fence with the...
Right. But, you know, Bart, for those that are in the financing world right now, and that this was a discussion had with Scott, here recently, you know, it is a different world on doing large projects right now. You know, banks don't want to finance large projects. Banks don't want to finance multi-phase projects. So it is a really tough economic. And that's the thing. Look, I'm not making excuses, but you go back and you really look at the financial world that we've been in. I mean, really the last 6 years, five years, 2019, things were still rocking along, but then 2020 comes along and COVID hits, and you know all these projects that were in the starting phase or getting ready to get started were all scrapped because everyone stopped lending money in 2020, and then you know the economy comes back, you then start, you know, 2021, then you start going again. Well, then 2022, you know, you have a new election. Or no, that was 2020. You have the election, November 2020. And then fast forward 18 months into after the election, inflation triples. And so now the interest rate goes from, in some cases, 3.25% to 3.5% to now construction financing is at 8.25% to 8.5%. And so all of a sudden, all of these things that look like really good projects, when you're paying almost triple in your interest, they're not. And that's the part I argue. I see all this stuff. And again, Bart, we talk about this, that sometimes I think on the political spectrum that no matter which side you're on, you know, it's all about narrative. We talk about inflation. Inflation is not like your interest rate. So I don't care what side you're on, but I follow the financial stuff and I hear Biden talk about that inflation is down. Inflation is not like your interest rate where you can say, hey, my interest rate's 7%, so it's down to 6.5% right now. That's not the way it works. Inflation is a cumulative number. So if you go through and you look year to year that inflation is 21%, 22% over a three-year period, well, just because you say that, hey, the inflationary CDI report came back and it's down, you know, a percent, that doesn't account that it was up 21% over the last 3 years. So, I mean, for example, inflation for 2024 would need to go down to the negative number by 20% for us just to be back where we were, you know, and that's the thing that is so tough on people right now. When you look at construction materials or what we buy, you know, I was telling Ashley the other day that, you know, we had gotten a bag of Ruffles. And a bag of Ruffles was almost $7 for a bag of Ruffles.
I didn't realize they were up that much.
Yeah, I think it was like $6.29 or something like that. You know, add tax on top of that. And I'm looking at that going, you know, the coffee creamer we use every single morning, it used to be $2.40 and it's $4.99 now. I mean, it's up 100%. So those are the things that I don't care what political side you're on, and you can blame it on whoever. But there is no doubt that we're paying more now for things in 2024 than we have in the last several years. And that really goes to all of these city projects that we talk about that, you know, projects that were really good now or really good 2 or 3 years ago are not good now. And so it's just sort of a waiting game.
We have a listener who is sending us this text, and they're asking about the project of the wetlands area and the bottoms, historic bottoms, the development of that. They were excited about that and were ready to move into some homes in that area. There was talk of building high-rise buildings with the first level or two being retail and then living space above that, and then to have sort of a feel for music venues in the boardwalk area.
Yeah, that's the Broad Street project. So that project, I think, is progressing forward. The project on the south side, which would be the Bottoms project, I mean, we've never had a discussion about multifamily or apartments or living on that side. So that's where the Town Creek project is.
So that one's pretty well, yeah, and that hasn't happened.
Well, that's moving along. Finally, the Town Creek project, all of that has gone through. You'll notice they're tearing the buildings down. They're getting ready, you know, the engineering, all the things that have to happen to start. But yeah, that project is well underway. The funding's already been in place. You know, there was a thing I think y'all had on your website about where the engineers were flying the drones in the underground piping able to get all of that. So, you know, that project is well underway. I mean, it's just like when you're building a home, there's all these things that happen before that you don't necessarily see, and then all of a sudden it starts going vertical. So that whole Bottoms project, I think with Town Creek in that really transforming that south side, I hope that, you know, you will see the Bottoms area start to lure people who will want to invest in that area.
Now, there were a lot of sort of warehouse structures down there, and they started clearing out. Did they do that on their own, or was that a part of a plan to clear it out so that the Bottoms project could happen?
So that's one thing I think people need to understand. All that property that's in the Bottoms area, that's private property. The city doesn't own any of that. You know, we have Cannonsburg that we own, and we own the gravel parking lot right there where the Lions Club and the Pavilion. And then we've bought all the property along Broad Street, which we've talked about this. I think is significantly going to help traffic flow as you head to South Church Street, just because all of those entrances are no longer there on Broad. But that's all private property. And so all we can hope is that we create an environment where people will want to go invest in that area and improve that area. So all of that that's being done, the clearing, that's all been done by private people working. I do think, you know, Bart, the city, you know, bought the liquor store that's there on the corner. I think that's going to help the area significantly. That liquor store was not a great driver for, you know, people wanting to leave that area. So couple that with Journey Home, and Journey Home's got their new building, which we're really excited about, the Journey Home new facility. If you've not donated to the Journey Home, please, you know, go online and help them with their efforts. I think that's going to really help the entire area.
So when do you think we'll start seeing the daylighting of Town Creek and the that it'll take a while? I think the liquor store is still open, aren't they?
They are. I saw a sign as I went by the other day that said closing for business or sale.
And then there's a beauty shop that's still open?
Yeah, there are timelines on all of those. The discount breaks place is still open. You know, when the city bought all that property, it's not like we could go in and just kick somebody out. So, like, I know that the Discount Break Place, they've got a facility that they're working on South Church Street, the old Waffle House. And so when that facility is finished, they will move to that facility. I think that's the same thing with the barbershop as well. The liquor store, I'm not sure what the closing date is on the liquor store, but I do know that I fully expect that that project will be under construction this year.
Here's another note. This one says, I've always enjoyed Cannonsburg. It's a great project for our city. It's a great place to learn about the history of the community, but it needs sort of a freshening up. It needs to be larger. Back when Uncle Dave Macon Days was there, it was really getting into its prime. Then all of a sudden, the winds got out of the sails. What can we do to get it going again?
Hopefully the Town Creek project will help with that, but I think exactly what the listener said, that area is not set up for large events. There's no parking. And, you know.
But you got lots of land that's not being used.
Well, not really. So we don't own any of the land that's there that where we could put the parking. And the other part, too, is that there's a lot of that property that is in a protected area because of the stream and the river that goes through there. So we can't build anything on it. So hopefully what you'll see with Town Creek, and Bart, you remember this with Uncle Dave Macon Days, that we would have a police officer that would sit right on South Front Street and Broad Street and direct traffic and let people walk back and forth across, which is really tough when you're trying to get people across a 5-lane state road to get over to Cannonsburg. So what I'm hoping is with Town Creek being built, you know, that's more land that we've been able to have facilities. But then we have the pedestrian bridge that we've gotten approved through TDOT that will take people across Broad Street.
So it's South Church, right?
Broad Street and South Church. So if there's an event that's over at Cannonsburg, then you're able to have people who can get across now. Just like you go to the Titans game. You know, you walk across their pedestrian bridge that goes over the Cumberland River. Before that, you know, it was a traffic nightmare getting people in and out of there. So this is going to help us be able to facilitate. I agree with the listener that, you know, we need to be able to facilitate and have different areas down there. Like, I remember going to barbecue festivals that were down there, all kinds of different things. So I think this will help be able to do that.
Now, there was also conversation about, with some angling of roadways and what have you, Front Street and Vine Street could be a little easier to manipulate.
Yeah, that's one of the things that will go, you know, I think along with the Town Creek project is the realignment of South Front Street and Vine Street, because that intersection right there, good luck making a left turn out of that intersection. As a matter of fact, I don't even think you can make a left turn, but it is really tough. So that whole intersection would be redesign with this project.
Would there be a traffic signal to actually stop the traffic so the flow from Vine onto
I don't think you'd see a traffic signal there because there's already a traffic signal so close to where East Main Street. So think about where that intersection is. East Main Street is just, Main Street is just right there. So I'm not sure that you would have the distance requirement to, I'm not an engineer, but I don't think you would have the distance requirement to be able to do that.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest. We will be back and continue the conversation. If it's about the city of Murfreesboro, this is your chance to talk to the mayor. 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
At work, in your backyard, or out on the lake, you can hear Braves baseball on News Radio WGNS. I'm Ben Ingram on the Mid-States home of the Atlanta Braves.
If your job situation is changing because of layoffs or restructuring, you may have to make several decisions. One important decision may be what to do with your retirement plan. Make sure your retirement stays on track. I'm Lee Colvin, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, and I'd like to help. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things when we were looking at trying to craft our menu to help those who are dieting is the side dishes. A lot of times we're so used to eating starches and unhealthy side dishes. In addition to our spinach, which we've had on the menu from the start, we've added zucchini and green beans, but we've also added broccoli. The broccoli is properly steamed, so it's not too soft and not too hard. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time. At least match their prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Hi, this is Ryan with Tire World Laverne, here to serve all your automotive needs in Rutherford County. We welcome all your fleet and commercial accounts, along with all your regular routine maintenance. Tire World, a hometown family business you can trust.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Happy birthday to Johnny Lee Woods. He is the winner this morning of that delicious banana pudding from Slick Pig Barbecue. Also, our good neighbor of the day is Ginger Diaz. The person said she always has a smile, even in difficult times. Ginger Diaz receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family over at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts over at 117 South Academy Street. Welcome back. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning. Don't be bashful if you have a question for the mayor. 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. And this one's dealing with the traffic issues. They say that we know that traffic is our number one problem. We hear it talked about all the time, but we still seem to have that problem. Is there a solution to, it takes sometimes 40 minutes to get across town now?
Bart, I think we have, I'm trying to think of the most political way to say this. The city of Murfreesboro doesn't have problems building roads. I mean, you look at the track record we've had to build, for example, Veterans Parkway, Rutherford Boulevard, Fortress, Manson. Look at the road improvements that we've done, Sulphur Springs, Haynes Drive.
And look what those roads have done for us.
Yes.
I mean, new hospital, all sorts of medical facilities.
You know, Bart, I think I have to say this. The state is going to have to help with state roads. And I'm not pointing fingers at, you know, I go to talk with my other mayors, and I think we're all frustrated that we're thankful for TDOT. We're thankful for the money that we do get. But, you know, the governor's Better Build program that we received, there's $700 million that went to each of the grand divisions. My job is to advocate for Murfreesboro, right? And I think that's the job for our state elected officials as well. But the majority of the funds that we got in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County were for I-24. And that's great to help I-24 for the people who drive every day. That doesn't really do much to help the areas that we need fixed inside our community. State roads 231, Highway 99, Highway 96, Thompson Lane, luckily we got funding for that. Bradyville Pike had the funding cut from Bradyville Pike. That's a state road. I mean, I just named off West Jefferson Pike. I mean, I could go through and name the majority of roads that come through our city are all state roads. And those are the roads that people drive. And so, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails and comments about Highway 99 and how long it's taken, you know, 99 to be completed. So, you know, my job, I'm going to continue to work with our elected officials in the state to help secure funding. You know, what I will tell residents, we talk with TDOT, we work with our state partners, but if you don't like Highway 96 and you don't like the way Highway 99 is done, then you need to contact your state officials, because, you know, that's the part that's so frustrating, Bart. The $700 million that we got in Middle Tennessee, and look, East Tennessee and West Tennessee have got lots of things happening. Although West Tennessee, there's not really a city in West Tennessee that is growing at a pace of Middle Tennessee. Memphis is actually losing residents. The $700 million that came to Middle Tennessee, what grand division in our state is growing the fastest?
Right here.
Middle Tennessee, Murray County, Williamson County, Rutherford County, Davidson County, Wilson County. And so, you know, there's not enough funding to be able to go around. And so, you know, I think that's something that is significant, that there's only so much from the local level that we can do. And look, I'm not trying to point fingers, but at the same time, you know, I've always tried to play well with our other elected officials in the state. But I think at some point we have to say, look, we all have to solve these. And look, we've got great, I talked with Shane Reeves, Dawn Wright, Brian Terry, talked with him last week, talked with Tim Rudd last week. You know, the people who represent Murfreesboro, the majority are very receptive to working and making sure that they're helping secure that funding. But, you know, look, I believe this. You know, I think we get involved in all this other stuff and we talk about stuff on the national level. You know, people want funding for education. They want funding for infrastructure and transportation. They want to live in a safe community. And those are the things that we really are working towards.
One of the things a listener here has a note about is about our schools. And they are worried about the charter schools and how it's taking money from our public schools. They were surprised, they said, that they had driven around town how many brand new schools that there are all over Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. Schools they'd never heard of.
Yeah.
And those are probably taking money that would have gone to the public schools. I think the county school system had to spend $11 million they wrote out of their account?
They did, but you really have to get into the research with that, Bart. And I think charter schools are public schools, and they have to go through the same process. They're under the same testing guidelines as our public schools. So I think charter schools are part of the solution to help with schools. I mean, look, you know, the charter schools build much cheaper than what the government builds for. The funding, unless I'm wrong on this, the funding on the way the charter schools work, you know, we're paid in arrears. For example, you know, the city of Murfreesboro educates almost 10,000 students, county students. We have our school system that we educate in the city of Murfreesboro, and we get paid in arrears, so the money follows the student. The charter school funding, I think the way they did that, they get paid on the front end, which is completely different. So I don't think necessarily they're taking money away from the schools, because that money follows the student, or it's supposed to. The part that I don't understand, and I'm, you know, I think 96% of our kids go to private school or public school. I think charter schools can help a small percentage, but I don't think anyone can argue that the funding structure that we currently have in place for large and fast-growing school systems is adequate. At the same time, I don't think you're not going to be able to build your way out of this. There's going to have to be alternate ways that we think, whether that's adjusting school times, you know, looking at out-of-the-box ideas, because no organization, for example, in the county's side can afford $600 million over a five-year period. I mean, you can do that, but you're going to be raising taxes significantly. And so I do think the charter school structure, and hopefully at the state, they're working to rectify that funding. The part, Bart, that I, unless there's something that changes, you know, look, I've seen all three sides. So my kids went to public school. We homeschooled our kids. And then my kids went to private school. And, you know, the taxpayer, in my opinion, should be hugging the people who send their kids to private school, because they pay for the education out of their pocket. That's a choice that they've made. But we still pay taxes for the public school. Just like you, you know, you pay property taxes in Rutherford County and city of Murfreesboro. And my guess is you don't have kids in the school system right now.
Right now, I don't.
Yeah.
I did, though.
Yes. So that's just part of the
way
they
took up the slack and they
right.
have kids.
Well, yeah. that's part of the way we're set. That's part of the way as a government we're set. We pay for services that we may not use, you know. But the part that I'm having trouble understanding and reconciling is that the government giving money to private schools to pay for kids to go to private school. You know, I think the number was $7,700 that they were going to give. We don't get $7,700 as a city for our city school systems. So, you know, I think private schools have a need also, and they are part of the solution. But, you know, my job is to advocate for our public school system, and that's what I'm going to continue doing. And I mean, that's Bart, that's the other part. I mean, when you look at the elected officials on the school board, you look at the elected officials on the county school board, our city school board, it you do the research, and that's part of our opportunity and our obligation. That part really scares me on that proposal when we're starting to fund. And here's the thing, Bart, our private schools, who my kid goes to a private school. We wanted our kid to go to a Christian school. That's the choice that Ashley and I made. But we're not under the same testing guidelines. We don't have to offer disabled student services or services for accommodation. I mean, when I say accommodations, like, we may not have a dyslexia program. You know, we may not have an autism program. Private schools don't have to do that. So if we're going to be on the same playing field, then let's be on the same playing field. But we can't pick and choose on how we do that.
Here's another question. This person, and we're jumping around a bit now. Do we believe that daylighting the creek will cause flooding issues?
No. I mean, no more than, so think about this way. That creek, that water that's underground right now, has to go somewhere. And so if there were flooding issues now, there would be flooding issues downstream where that goes into the Stones River. So no, it won't. That creek was daylighted at one point. But the regulations and the engineering that go into how much that you have to go through, here's the thing that I would tell the listener. The same amount of water is going to be going the same direction. The only thing that's going to be different is, as opposed to it being underground in a bunch of galvanized steel and concrete pipes, you're going to see it. So the same amount is going to be done the exact same way.
Totally different question here. And you can sort of elaborate on this, because this is a good opportunity to elaborate. Ask the mayor, what's taking place with the old GE motor plant on Broad Street? The property has a split rail fence going around it.
So that was where O'Reilly's had bought that property years ago, after the city had said that's not a project that we would support, putting a distribution center there. They sold that property to the Friends of the Battlefield through a grant, And then the city has taken that property from the Friends of the Battlefield, and it's part of our parks and recreation system now. So you'll see a walking trail that will go through there that will connect the battlefield, but you won't ever see anything developed on that corner. That'll be part of the battlefield and part of the parks and recreation system.
So it'll be green space for us.
Correct.
Also, here's another question. They're asking about the landfill. How is the landfill going? And the proposed transfer station. And are we ever going to start recycling?
Yes. That's a much longer answer than the 8 minutes that we have left, Bart. But there's a lot moving with the landfill. There's a lot going on with the lawsuit that the city has. But the city of Murfreesboro and the county, Mayor Carr has been great to work with on this. They have their transfer station that they're working on, but we are all headed in the direction to continue to be solid waste independent.
So what is happening with the lawsuit?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you, Bart. No, I'm kidding.
Well, and everybody else would have to kill too.
There's a lot of, you know, we've gone through mediation the last couple of months, and so that's really all I can get into. But our number one goal as a city is to make sure that landfill is operated correctly and is safe for our residents.
So we still have the landfill?
Yes.
Okay. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We'll be back. The mayor is with us this morning, Mayor Shane McFarland. And we have just a few minutes left. So if you have a question for the mayor, you better get it in quickly.
Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
Bob Ferris enjoys life at Adams Place.
I do physical therapy here and ride the bicycle. This morning I rode the bicycle for 20 minutes. At Adams Place, I enjoy the friendship. We have a good time.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
Welcome back. Our number is 615-893-1450. Now we're going to do a mad dash to cover all the topics that we have untouched this morning. Skate park about to open, tennis courts about to be ground broken on those. Sort of bring us up to speed, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so the skate park should open here in the next couple of weeks. I think all of the construction's done. They're just working on site work now, so we'll be able to announce a big grand opening on that. Construction over at the 8 original courts that have been there for 30 years, over at Old Fort Park are starting today, as a matter of fact. That's new lighting, lots of different things. But the other part too is we're going to go from 8 tennis courts to 6 tennis courts and 6 pickleball courts. The amount of people playing pickleball and the amount of people waiting to play pickleball at Patterson Park. So we're trying to do the best we can. But Bart, the other part too is, you know, I've been getting a lot of emails from the pickleball community and the tennis community. The tennis community is mad that the pickleball community is taking a couple of their courts. And, you know, we try to make it to where everyone can get along. But for example, you know, Bart, we just got finished with our budget and we approved, you know, almost an 11% pay increase for our public safety, for our police officers. You know, the starting salary for a police officer has gone up to almost, after your commission, $64,000 to start. You know, we're in the top tier in the region for police officer pay. And then that goes all the way up the pay scale. So that goes from officer all the way up to chief. And now we're having the same discussion for fire. But, you know, you add all that together, and it's probably a $4.5 million lift over for this budget year. And, you know, that's what I tell people, that we're trying to do the best we can with the money that we have. But if I tell someone, look, we're going to raise your taxes to build an indoor pickleball facility, or we're going to raise your taxes to, you know, like, I got this email the other day from a lady that was saying that the tennis community raised the funds and built their own tennis courts. And that's just not true. I mean, the Adams Tennis Facility was funded by a couple of significant donors, one being the Adams family. But the majority of that borrowed money, that the taxpayer borrowed that money. We paid for that, or you paid for it. I paid for it. And so when I tell people that, you know, I'm going to have to raise your taxes to build a pickleball facility, that doesn't go over very well. So, you know, look, I'm a huge supporter of Parks and Recreation. You've known that over the years. We're going through the costing phase, and they've gotten that back on our new Veterans Park on the west side. And I really hope to see that started soon. But, you know, we're trying to be able to build roads, build schools, make sure that we pay our public safety employees, all of our employees, that we can have. I got a report the other day, our turnover rate inside the city, outside of the public safety side, is less than 4%. So that tells me that we're doing something right there. So we've got all these things that we're trying to do, and we're trying to balance between a want and a need. And in a growing city, I think that's what people expect us to do, is to be able to offer as many offerings as we can, but also still, you know, stay competitive with our taxes in our city.
Here's a question from a listener.
They're wondering about the development that's going on the New Salem Highway, which is Highway 99, I guess it is, over near Veterans Parkway. There's an old mansion on one side of the road, and the farm that's directly across the street, same type of fence, so they think it must be part of the original farm, plantation, what have you. They have cut down all the trees. They're all piled up. What is going to be there?
I'd have to find out. I think if that's the boxwood, I think that's the old...
I think okay, that's what that is.
Is that the old McCullough farm?
I'm not sure. I think it is.
Yeah, there was a project that was approved there 15 years ago that, you know, never really started. So I am not sure, but I can try to find out and let you know on that. Sam also texts me, Bart, on Town Creek.
Sam is on top of it all.
He is. It said they're completing property acquisition, and the movement, or people are moving out of the last three buildings in July and August. Demo of those buildings to follow shortly after. The target is to advertise for bid in September, receive bids in October, and then start then. So I would expect, hopefully, we'll be starting construction this year.
And what is that project again?
That's Town Creek.
Town Creek, okay.
Yep. So the work would be 12 to 15 months. So the first or second quarter of 2020 or of 2025, it would be complete.
Okay, so 2025, we'll see the daylighting of the creek, and we'll see the buildings gone, and people will be walking
along
that space.
Yep.
What about the bridge that's so much in the conversation?
Yeah.
The pedestrian bridge.
When will
we see that?
That would be part of that.
Same time.
Well, I don't know if that would be part of the same timing, because that would be part of the development with the Broad Street project as well, which, you know, you're intimately familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be in that. I would suspect that would be in that 2025 time frame as well.
Okay, we have about a minute left in the program. Anything new with the airport that we need to bring up?
No, I'm actually headed to the airport right after this meeting. So, I think everything is still progressing forward. I mean, I'm really proud of that airport. I mean, they've won just about every award you can win this last fiscal year. So we're progressing nicely out there.
And in a brief sentence or two, what about the control tower?
Control tower is still in the phases that you have to go through with the FAA, so it's still progressing forward.
Okay, just not ready tomorrow.
Not ready tomorrow, no. Nothing in the aviation world happens fast.
Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland with us this morning. Shane,
thanks, Bart.
Thank you again.